And good evening. It is Intuitive Soul Radio with your host, Lori Houston. And tonight we are blessed with Vincent Pace, who's coming here this evening and is going to talk about, well, all sorts of things. He has written a book. We won't be talking about it today, but I think he's going to read something from it because he has it in his hands. And he's actually a musician and he's a medium. So welcome, Vincent.
Thank you, Lori. Thank you for having me.
Great. So we usually start the show off with talking about your journey and how you sort of got started on this unique path that you're on.
Okay. Well, primarily, as you mentioned, I journeyed a very long time as a musician, as a composer, and I still continue to do this. I mean, I began playing music when I was about 4 years old, started taking lessons, and of course, at that point, seeing, feeling, and hearing what we refer to as spirit or discarnate intelligences was a normal function for me, yet I never really paid attention to it. My focus has always been music up until a good 12 to 14 years ago. It really came to the forefront for me where I started to feel people's energy far more, started to hear their thoughts far more, and really started to hear the discarnate intelligences far more. And being pushed in the home, meaning feeling, of course, being a musician, coming back from a gig, 1:30, 2 o'clock, winding down, I would at times feel the energy of being pushed by discarnate intelligences, and really not thinking too much about it. It never spooked me. It just was something I was used to. And so now here we are, about 13, as I mentioned, 12 to 14 years later. And within this period of unfoldment, I have written a book. These are spirit teachings that were given to me. It's entitled A Journey with a Total Self. And of course, as a composer, I've tied in the expression of choral orchestral music. And the whole concept of the journey for me is the attunement with spirit, and that spirit could be the expression of Father God, could be Mother God, could be Child God. This is what the CD is about. And the three orchestral choral pieces are Domini Spiritus, which is in reference to the Father essence, Ave Maria, which is in reference to the Mother essence, and then Filii Unigenite, which is in reference to the child, or to the enlightened one, or the Buddha, or the Christ concept within. So here is, from this has come the message of One Light Guides All. And basically, One Light Guides All is the idea of all that is of spirit reconnects to itself. If we take a look at the concept of religion implies, its derivative is rilegare, which implies to reunite with. So if we look at religion, it is the reuniting of self with the total self, meaning spirit. So I'm bringing in all aspects of the total journey to you, doing my best to answer your question as to this is how it is, this is how it began, this is how it was, and this is how it continues for me. Yes.
So if you were listening earlier to the show, if you got in and logged in earlier, you were listening to some of Vincent's music that he has just released or just...
About to release. Sometime in the new year, February, March.
Okay, perfect. Yes. Which is quite lovely.
Thank you.
And thank you. I think later on we'll probably listen to a couple other of your songs of your music.
We'll hear the music from the CD, A Journey with Self.
Which is on your website.
Which is on the website. The music you played previously is not on the website yet. All right.
Okay. So you heard it here first.
There you go. That's correct. This is the first broadcast, as it were.
Beautiful.
You know, world premiere.
Okay. So you know I have to ask.
Yes.
So you talk with dead people.
Yes. And as we were discussing earlier, the concept of dead is a perception. The concept of dead implies that we are final or finality. So when I speak with those who are no longer physical, intelligences which are no longer imbibing the physical body, I speak with, I suppose, their anima, their anime, their souls, their expressions, their characteristics still come through. Their functions as to when they were humans still come through, and their expression of love, which is the most important thing, still comes through. So if I'm dealing with a prospective client, I am dealing with trying to reconnect them to feel that love again. Because our perception is such that because they're no longer physical, we can't feel their touch, and therefore we can't know that perhaps a husband or a wife or a mother or a father or an uncle or a grandmother still loves us. Mm-hmm. And this is the crux of the work that I do as a medium in talking to dead people. Yes. There it is.
I've just always wanted to say that after seeing Sixth Sense, you know?
Right.
So you talk to dead people. But I do know that there are a lot of people that do that. And there are a lot of people that need that reassurance. Because as much as we know, I mean, not everybody knows, but as much as we know mentally,
right,
and maybe even from our heart, we may know, there's still the physical absence.
Absolutely. Go ahead.
Yeah, that void that we are trying to fill. And so it's a beautiful thing to offer someone, especially when it's a death that, you know, is unexpected, or, you know, a child, or, you know.
And this is it. The purpose for me is not the idea of talking to these discarnate intelligences or these dead people. It's more about healing. It's about seeing the release of energy from a particular individual when I know that I've connected them to, for instance, a mom who's just passed, or a husband who's just passed, or a father who's just passed, and I give them particular details as to how they passed, what their relationship was about, and how they interacted with one another. The healing that transpires is immense. Mm-hmm. And really, this is what allows them to reconnect, is what allows them to reconnect to their own spirit, reconnect to this entity that's no longer physical, and reconnect to the love, really. And therein is the unity. Therein is the becoming whole again. You know, because as you mentioned, when we lose a loved one, there is a tremendous void. So it goes to the idea of repairing the concept of attachment. You know, it repairs it in a sense when I can bring an entity forward that. Is means so much to the particular client. Mm-hmm. So it's fulfilling work.
Do you ever have a problem with bringing that energy forward? Like, is there ever a time when they're not really available, or they're, you know, back in school or doing something, or back on the planet, or, you know, is there ever a time when it's too long and you can't really connect in with it?
Well, there's several schools of thought on that. Mm-hmm. On that. So I'm going
to... That's the reason I'm asking, because I went to a traditional mystery school and had a theory on that, and I'm now curious.
Yeah, and I'm going to paint both scenarios. There is the ideology that we ought to be able to connect to that which is of spirit within a second.
Sure.
Or a nanosecond.
Because we're all one, right?
Exactly. And mm-hmm. and from that perspective, it makes sense that we, because of the oneness, because of the amalgamation of what we call spirit, yes, we should be able to. However, there is something called human consciousness, or human brain, or perception, that may get in the way. And I say it's very rarely on the part of the spirit world. It's almost always on the part of us here in the physical world. So we talk about openness and awareness. And I oftentimes suggest to clients, to be here as much as possible when I give a reading, because oftentimes a person is sitting there and their information comes forward and they're thinking, I wonder who that is, or that's not his name. So they're already engaged in some form of a dialogue within themselves, and that already blocks the process. So it's not that the entities are not around us. They are constantly, always, and they are really just snap of a finger away. It's our perceptions that get in the way. It's our experience that gets in the way. And it's our understanding that gets in the way. Our lack of openness that gets in the way.
What about, is it also possibly that once they're there for a certain period, they lose the ego attachment to that physical life that they had and are no longer really connected, so that they can't really relate in the same way to that physical...
In my experience, you're giving them a lot of credit. because oftentimes I say to people, just because they've made the transition to non-physicalness, don't think that they've automatically received PhDs. Don't think that they've automatically have become enlightened. That's not the case. There's a process in the spirit world similar to the idea of there being a process here in the physical world. It's no different. So the relinquishing of the non-physical ego, or the relinquishing of the ego, doesn't necessarily happen right away. Right. So, a lot of the times you will feel the expression of, for instance, let's say I'm working with a client and their father comes forward. I will feel everything about that person's character, everything, which pertains to the ego, not the soul, right? And I will feel everything about the nuances of how they expressed in the physical world. So, and how they passed, obviously, how they left the physical world. So that, again, pertains to the experience of the ego mind, and that's not gone yet.
Right.
That might take in terms of measurement, space and time measurement, it might take 10 years. It might take 200 years. Mm-hmm. It's not quantifiable, I'd say. That's been my experience.
Right.
So they come forward to demonstrate, again, the connection of love.
Right.
Yeah.
But that is the common thread in what they're sharing.
Absolutely. The expression of that they continue to exist and that they love this particular person.
Mm-hmm.
So oftentimes when I work within the spiritualist community and I do gallery type work where I'm standing in front of 20, 30, 40, 50 people, and for instance, I'll give you an example. Let's say there's a gentleman in the audience who lost their father, and their father was alcoholic, abusive. So if I can bring information, prove to this person that I have this man in the spirit world communicating to me, and they say, I am regretful as to how I treated you. I apologize for how we interacted or how we didn't interact because I was so enmeshed and immersed in the bottle, for instance. And I know I hurt you. Please forgive me for this. Or they say, tell them, or I would hear the entity say, tell them I still love them. I always loved them. I just didn't know how to express it. So that's paramount. For the individual sitting in the audience, you see, because it ties into the concept of how do I relate to God? If I have a tainted experience of father, for instance, and I perceive God to be father, then it's a common idea to think that now I'm going to have a dilemma connecting to God the Father because of my initial experience of the concept of father. So, hence the reason healing needs to take place for this particular individual, and a little connection this way, or big connection, however you want to put it, helps to facilitate that, helps to, engage, or helps to initiate. And then, of course, the responsibility is of the individual soul to engage in further healing.
Right.
But the message is love, and of course, to heal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
And can you connect in with animals as well? Yes. Have that? Yes.
Do I bring forward animals as, for instance, if a client is there and they had a cat that they were very attached to? Again, the expression is the connection of love. So, of course, I can bring forward the cat and say that they really loved you. And so, again, I'm not going to suggest to you that they're, because of our understanding of the concept of intelligences and the evolutionary chain and so on, I'm not going to suggest to you that they communicate through intelligent, rational thought. I am going to say to you that they communicate through the vibration of love. And that's unmistakable. That communication is unmistakable. You cannot express, or rather, we can't quantify. We just know because we feel it. And this is what I bring to a client. If, for instance, they lost a cat or a dog. I did have one client, for instance, about a year ago, who had an affinity with horses, and she had also affinity with her dog. And the very first thing that I saw were dogs and horses. You see, and so I brought the idea of the dog to this person, and she teared up, and that followed by her brother, that was in the spirit world, and off we went. Mm. Yeah. So the idea is connecting to the vibration of love. So animals, yep, absolutely.
Now you also bring in different entities that may not have been necessarily in this physical world, but. Yeah. Certainly masters and angels and that kind of.
Yes.
And obviously their message would be similar, as I know myself. But, you know, when a situation like that comes through, what's happening?
Okay. Oftentimes, I do my best to remain in my feet. Because when you've opened to this particular, this force, this energy, this source, it wishes to communicate continually. So, for instance, as I teach development classes, mediumistic development classes, I tell students, you might feel the energy of what we refer to as Michael, or the Archangel Michael, and they wish to perhaps protect you, or they wish to perhaps give you a message, or perhaps, because that's what angels do, they give messages, right? So, I often suggest to people, and I take my own advice, I often suggest to people, please get away from the names, get away from the labels, connect to the energy, and let that energy fulfill your soul. And that energy, as it fulfills your soul, you may not be able to express through words this particular message, but you will have it within your soul, you'll have it within your heart, and it will exude from you nonetheless. So this is how I attempt, or I do, I don't attempt, it comes forward through me. This is how it comes. So there are those who I would refer to as teachers to me, and I do engage in, they initially tell me their names and tell me what centuries they were here, if, for instance, they were physical, or they will tell me we are from, for instance, there are those who claim to be from a different sphere of light. Let me just take a moment and explain what I'm talking about. They call themselves crystalline entities. So if I take the concept of crystallization, it is the forming of matter within the concept of light. Light implies awareness. Light implies a process or a journey of love. So sphere of light implies different understandings of this concept labeled love, different understandings of this concept labeled light, which I refer to as awareness. So they say to me, crystalline, they say to me, we are from the sixth or fifth sphere of light removed from physicalness. So why would they want to engage in us? Because their understanding, they would see, respectfully to the human consciousness, they would see our understanding of light and love as very immature. They would see it as very, not even adolescent, they would see it as infantile. So as they want to affect all that is of light through oneness, of course they're going to come and help us share in sharing their understanding of love, in sharing their understanding of light. Our consciousness, because of mammalian physicalness, may not be able to comprehend the totality of it, but they continue to do it. They continue to express the effort of engaging with us. So there is an example of those which are never really been physical as to our understanding of what physical is, that impress upon my consciousness. And there are others that I've just finished a first segment of another book that has been given. And oftentimes when this information comes forward, they tell me that they are from the Brotherhood of One Light. And this concept of one light is far removed from anything that I can even explain to you. It's the best way I can say it. Yeah. And this is how it's put to me. So it is within the journey that hopefully I'll have further understanding. I'm not there yet because I'm engaged in my process, in my journey. So they gave me, when I say they, I mean these that refer to themselves as Brotherhood of One Light. They say to me that if you can imagine a ladder, that the human mammalian concept of what God is or what spirit is well before the first rung. This is where they're placing us in terms of understanding of what is referred to as consciousness or what is referred to as spirit or awareness. So clearly we have a lot to learn, and this is why we're here, to have this experience. And this is the message that those who work through me wish to further impress upon us. It can be daunting. It can be daunting to remain within the feet, meaning within the physical. Yes, within the physical body. And yet my beautiful wife does a great job of helping me with that.
Others are usually very good at that.
Yes. And our son has really helped in that regard as well. Just to bring his back into our feet and
keep us here.
That's right.
Because we're here for a reason. And
absolutely.
Here, you know, they say this is the place everybody wants to be, because we get the richness of the emotions and the richness of the experience. And it's really this third dimensional planet that, you know, is moving into a huge, you know, mass consciousness awareness that is going to be, you know, take us to another level. But certainly, you know, we're here on this physical planet to enjoy the physicalness of who we are.
Absolutely.
So to have other beings that have never actually even been here, they don't really know what they're missing because they've never had that rich experience of what
That's
it could
right.
be like.
Yeah.
Now that we live our lives in fear, and that we have war and we have struggle and we have economic financial crises and things that, you know, not only keep us on this planet, but, you know, lower our vibration quite a bit, it can make life a little bit more challenging.
I totally agree. And oftentimes when I lecture, I'm never aware of what I'm going to be lecturing upon until I'm right there in front of the audience, and I'm guided to a writing within the book, A Journey with the Total Self. I express the writing, and then I go forward and suggest the lecture and come back to another writing. So to touch on what you're suggesting is very common. That's very common in the message that those who lecture through me are suggesting is to enjoy every experience of what it means to be physical. So in my dialogue with them, I would say, okay, as a musician, because I've played so much, I have tendonitis in both elbows and in my wrists, and sometimes it's very painful just to do the thing that I love and I adore so much. And they said, yeah, pretty much. Yeah, enjoy that pain. Because it is through that pain that you realize that you are this essence of physicalness, and that you realize that you are from this place of love and spirit. So enjoy that. Enjoy the pain in the knee, or the pain in the neck, or enjoy the angst of emotions and the angst of fear, because that is why you have engaged in, or we've engaged in physical covering, you know, through our thoughts. And so it's that's a very common idea that comes forward, mm-hmm. is to imbibe everything, is to take it all in. And then the wrench in all of that is this further concept where it's implied that it is only in dying that you can actually live. So what does that mean? So in dying to the ego self, if, for instance, if the ego self dies, then you are allowing the spirit self or the soul self to actually live. So the soul self very rarely goes about engaging in life through rational, logical, linear thought. It goes by intuitive following, or it's guided by the inner compass. And that soul self will always take you into places that may be very uncomfortable, that your ego mind might say, I don't want to be here. I don't want to be here. But the soul self knows fully well, you need to be there, because this is where you're going to get further enrichment, where you're going to get further joy, further pleasure, further essence of what is referred to as spirit. So that is what they imply by what it means to be conscious, or what it means to be fully aware, what it means to die so that your spirit can live. It's fantastic. In a way, it's asking us to relinquish all that we know about physicalness, even though we are also asked to enjoy everything that we know about physicalness. It can be somewhat confusing. However, knowing that if you are in your soul, confusion goes away. And intuitiveness, or the inner compass guides, and the all-knowing guides, or shall we say God, or shall we say whatever you wish to refer to it as, this is what brings us, guides us, fulfills us, enriches us. As a result, therein the spirit lives. And we are, for instance, somehow, I remember reading a quote by a gentleman of the name of Paul Farini. He says, you know, I have a mortgage of $400,000, for instance. I'm giving an analogy. I have a mortgage of $400,000. I haven't worked in 6 months. I'm not making any money. And he says, what can I do about that right here, right now, in the present breath, present moment? Absolutely nothing. However, can I bring peace, harmony, love, and joy to myself right here in the present breath, in the present moment? The answer is yes. Can you do this? Yes, through choice. So herein is the expression of the spirit, the expression of the soul, knowing fully well that this place, referred to as physicalness, we're meant to enjoy, yet it is temporal. We're not here forever. Therefore, let the spirit live, which is eternal. So it's a bit difficult for us, through our consciousness, to hold, yet this is what we are meant to do.
Right.
Yeah.
So what was the reading that you wanted to do? You keep holding your book, and I know there's something in there that's...
Right. So there are two juxtaposed to each other. And the first one is what it means to be conscious. So if you will allow, I'll read it. And this is taken from page 152 of A Journey with the Total Self. I think it's the second chapter. No, it's the fifth chapter. Sorry. Okay, and it again, it's entitled What It Means to Be Conscious, and it reads as follows. Consciousness is a term used to denote one's entrance into the plane of physicalness, as well as one's entrance into the journey of acceptance and connectedness. Many perceive this journey of acceptance as a route of spirituality, which is somehow separate from everyday existence. For instance, many on the journey of awareness, or more precisely perceived awareness, claim to be on their spiritual path, as if to suggest it is unlike their everyday thoughts, emotions, and actions. This is a tremendous misconception of the true nature of your being. We suggest to you that oneness is consciousness, and consciousness is awareness of the true and everlasting self. Consciousness is not only the acceptance of your given name, this is only the first of many steps. Consciousness is the true acceptance of all aspects of your being. That is to say, one must endeavor to travel beyond the perceived self or projected self of reality. Then, and only then, does the label of consciousness begin to make sense. Once this comprehension is arrived at, one begins to live this understanding in every breath, within every moment. The realization is such that the concept of spiritual path does not exist outside the realm of everyday existence. The workings out of the mind self in the physical plane is in itself the spiritual path. It is not a separate vehicle of existence. Be sure to understand the intent of your awareness and be it fully. Accept all events as the workings out of the mind self and do not be afraid, for all these workings out will bring further consciousness. What it means to be conscious. So this is taken. These are one of the spirit teachings that I'm asked to share.
Nice.
Yes, with people around me. If I may just dissect this a brief moment. What they are referring to is this concept of containment or container. So if you can imagine the essence of totality, absoluteness, pureness, it needs a container to be expressed through. And we refer to that container as spirit. It's funneled through this and contained within spirit. The spirit needs another container because it's too big, it's too much. It needs another container, another funnel. We refer to that as soul. Soul self is oftentimes broken down into mind, into intellect, emotion, and then physicalness. That's the other container. So when we talk about the understanding of consciousness, this is what they're saying, it is immense. It is everlasting. It's infinite. It's ongoing. What does that mean? Will we ever know ourselves? No. Will we ever know the expression of God? No, because it's infinite. We're not meant to know the totality until we've relinquished all concepts of what the totality is. It's confusing. However, this is what they're referring to as oneness is consciousness. And that refers to everything, every aspect of what I've just described. And when we've arrived in this place of the understanding of totality, there's nothingness. When there's nothingness, there's no self. There's not even God. There just is. So this is the message that they wish to share in terms of one light guides all, that they want all that is the expression of light to come to this place of sharing, come to this place of understanding where there is nothingness and there is everything but nothing. And we are all one in that expression.
Right.
Mouthful.
And hard for the intellect of this brain to understand and comprehend, because we have our ego self that, you know, thinks me is everything.
Omnipotent.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. And that's if you will, that leads me to the next particular writing, which is right across from it, and when they claim what is true awareness. And they suggest, how does one go about determining their true awareness? And sometimes we refer to the idea of letting go of the ego self or letting go of the ego mind. And really what they're suggesting is it needs to be integrated. It needs to be accepted. It needs to be acknowledged, because it is through this containment that we express the mind, the intellect, the emotions, the soul, the spirit. It is through the ego mind. So it's not, it's about taming the...
It's not about further separation.
It's
how to work it all together.
It's about integration, really. Mm-hmm. And but to understand, to come to this place of understanding how to integrate, this is the process. This is, as we refer to it, as the journey, right? And so we're all together in all of this. We're all brothers and sisters in terms of spirit. All of it, all of us, whatever label we wish to attach to ourselves, whether it's Christian, it's Islam, it's Buddhist, it's whatever label we wish to attach, we're all brothers and sisters in the concept of spirit. as a result of that, we're all meant to engage in integrating the ego and expressing the spirit mm-hmm. and sharing in consciousness, in oneness. Mm-hmm. Right.
Did you want us to listen to...
Sure, that would be great. You can put on Domine Spiritus, which is, I believe, the fourth track of A Journey with Self, and it is the orchestral choral expression of the interaction of self with God the Father.
about music lifting the soul.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That was the intent.
I'm guessing that. It's quite powerful. So what was the intent of this?
The Domini Spiritus is to denote one's interaction with the concept of Father God within self. So how one engages in their understanding of the Spirit of God through, shall we say, the masculine versus the second piece in the spiritual suite is Ave Maria, which refers to the idea of how one engages in the spirit as through the feminine, the intuitive. And it also really pays homage if you take the words Ave and Maria. Ave means hail. Maria, its derivative is mare, which means ocean or water. So it is the... it is paying homage to the expression of the creation of life here in the physical, because we know that all microorganisms and organisms began in the water, in the ocean. So this is paying homage to the expression of God the Mother here being in the physical. That's Ave Maria. The Fili Unigenite, the third piece, is having to do with your experience as child here in the physical. Within the womb of the mother, meaning the globe.
Yeah.
Right. So this was the intent of the three pieces. So the Domini Spiritus, it really was to pay homage to infinite spirit, and our perception is that the infinite spirit is masculine in the sense that it gives the seed of itself to us. Mm-hmm. Right. This is our mammalian understanding of what God might be in terms of the overall creator.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So this is the intent.
Nice. Very beautiful.
Thank you.
So we were talking during the break about the ego.
Yes.
And how it's in such a rush. And yes. You were sort of saying that, you know, it's taken millions of years for us to get to where we are.
Yeah.
So follow through on that.
Yeah. I think we've come to a place where we're understanding that religion per se has brought peace to many. And yet we are finding that religion in another way is not doing it for many others. As a result, we're on this wave where we're thinking we have to bring further understanding, awareness, and further upliftment of the consciousness. And yet I oftentimes say to people, you're engaged in your journey of the spirit from the second you take breath in the physical world, and it may take 80 years for you to have any semblance of understanding. And the physical world has taken millions of years for it to evolve to this place. Human consciousness has taken millions of years. So what am I suggesting? Just go with the flow. Don't be in such a hurry. Don't be in such a hurry to have the totality of understanding of spirit. You're not meant to. Do your due diligence. Understand yourself. Know yourself. Take a break every once in a while. Have fun. Enjoy it, because that's what it's meant to be this way. We're not necessarily. I would love to say to all of us that on some level, if we are holding the omnipotent presence, that we can snap our finger and pollution across the world is going to go away. Well, we know that's not going to happen. We know it may take 50, 60, 70 years before the consciousness of the world finally agrees those pollutants are no good. And it may take another 50, 60 years before they're completely eradicated. And that means I won't be here. I won't be in the physical world. Perhaps all those around me that I love and hold very dear and near, they're not going to be here either. So let's just take a breath. Let's engage in our spirit. Take a nice deep breath and understand that evolution is a process. Consciousness is a process. Go out, watch your favorite movie, eat your favorite meal. Of course, watch your cholesterol and all this kind of stuff, and watch everything that pertains to physicalness. And know that you know, your spirit loves you no matter what. And this is where you really need to focus on the idea of loving yourself, loving those around you, as difficult as that might be sometimes in terms of loving yourself and loving those around you. Know that this is what is meant to be spirit. So enjoy, really. Enjoy that process.
I think a lot of times we're making it such a serious task or such a deep issue that we do forget to, you know, to have fun and to enjoy it. And as we said earlier, I mean, we're on this beautiful physical plane that, you know, is so rich of emotions and sensuality. Yeah. And I mean, it's just, it's a beautiful place to be if we can stop and really enjoy it.
Absolutely.
Embrace it.
Well, and it's also balance for us, because we go and go and then go and we go and we think we need to achieve so much. And you're right, there is plenty beauty. We just have to acknowledge it, accept it, see it, look for it first, of course, and then accept it, acknowledge it, and see it, and really try to hold it. And what stops us is our perceptions, of course, of the experience. And I'm reminded, there's a great series called The Band of Brothers. I'm sure many people are familiar with it. I believe it was put out by Spielberg and Tom Hanks. And it's focused on one particular captain. I don't remember his name. Nonetheless, he is a Second World War veteran, and he's being interviewed. Here we are, 40, 50 years later, and he's being interviewed. And I remember this so vividly in my mind when we were watching this on TV. He said in the interview, now as a 70, 80-year-old man, he said, all I kept thinking about after experiencing and witnessing all this that he did in the Second World War, he said, all I kept thinking about was getting a great piece of land and just living on that land and just working that land and being one with this land. And that's all, that's what brought him forward. That's what brought him through this tormenting experience of the Second World War, seeing every one of his friends and buddies that he led die before his eyes. So I think there's a great lesson in that for all of us, that no matter what our experience is, don't forget that we are here in the physical, and to have that aspiration of just being one with this world, being one with this microorganism, and enjoying it and being at peace with it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And how do we get our ego out of the way? Or how do we integrate our ego to allow that to happen?
How do we integrate our ego? I wish I had the answer for you. I think because we are the individuation of spirit, that implies we are meant to find that out on our own. That implies we are meant to engage in our journey in our own way. So you might tell me, this is how I do it. This is how I did it. A, B, C, and D. And I might turn around and say to you, well, I used E, F, G, and H, mm-hmm. right? And my wonderful wife might say, but I used I, J, K, and L, right? So I believe through the individuation of spirit, which is what we represent, and I believe through the expression of this individuation, I'm meant to learn from your process, and you're meant to learn from mine, and we're both meant to learn from my wife's or anyone else's process. So the integration of the ego will come that way, I believe. And no one way is the correct way, even though that there is unity in all that we're doing. In the continuum of thought, there is unity. So it's the best way I can answer your question.
No, I think that's very well done. So we're all unique and individualizations of the one spirit.
Absolutely.
What we do is connected to our journey, not necessarily anyone else's, yet we're all part of that same.
Absolutely. The way oftentimes it's put to me is, those in the spirit world who impress upon my consciousness, teachers, they say, Vincent, you're a composer. And I say, yes. I said, okay, well, you see, you put a whole bunch of musical notes on a page. Each note is so important for the totality of the expression of this big piece of music that you're putting together. And they say to me, and it takes many individual players to play all the notes that you put together. So understand it from that perspective. So we represent the great, the cosmic symphony of this one spirit, if you will, the cosmic expression of vibration. And, you know, we're all interconnected, because that's what's going to bring this beautiful music out. Each one note is so vital to the other and to the other and to the other. And if you isolate that one note, you might think, yeah, it sounds good on its own, but it sounds so much better with all these other notes, you see? So I think it's the best way I can explain it. How it was explained to me, I bring it forward.
Lovely.
Yeah.
You have another reading for us, I think.
Yeah, I was. And I think to tie in with what I was just saying, in terms of we're all interconnected. So we if we understand the concept of the infinity symbol, you know, the
infinity loop.
Yeah, the sideway eight, you know, we're givers, we're receivers. And yet what is oftentimes suggested is that to give and to receive is the exact same energy. You just have to know which side of that energy you're on. So in other words, to give you another analogy, you have two sets of you have two eyes. They're both part of the same face. Yet, if for instance you close one eye, you have reception from the other eye, and it's going to be different than the reception from the eye that you have closed if you open it up. You follow? So, this is what they say: to give, to receive. All right. So, your teachers speak to you and say to you that as we stand beside you in the journey of light, with light and for light, we encourage you to always acknowledge every passage of truth that is presented to you. There are those who either will, consciously or unconsciously, remove your essence, your energy, for their own purpose. It is for you to be fully aware of this unwanted mechanism of desire. This mechanism of vampirism is meant to adorn each affected party with truths which must be faced. To begin with, one must accept and then acknowledge why they are taking this energy for their own purpose and determine the cause of such a desire. And secondly, the other must accept and know why they are allowing this removal to take place. In discovering the answers to these age-old questions, you will find that there exists only one truth, that this mechanism is the machine of give and take. Each individual, by engaging in such a mechanism, is determining his or her place as a giver or receiver. Only then is each party able to discern that both the giver and or receiver are one and the same, simply a different view of an equal vista. You are to ask yourself whom you wish to be, a giver or receiver, in every moment of action. In doing so, you will realize that to partake in this play is to be connected in the oneness of life, that is to say, to be one is to be the other. Closely examine those individuals in your life with a strong sense of balanced boundaries, which act as either a giver or receiver. In doing this, you will better able to monitor your essence along your journey. Know that we, your teachers, are here as both givers and receivers for you and with you, for we work in conjunction with you, and not necessarily you for us and we for you. Be one, whole, and you, givers, to give, to receive. It's more or less ties in with what we're talking about, yeah. In terms of the connectedness of all that we are, it's our perceptions that make us believe that we're giving or we're receiving, but we're really just playing the same act. We're involved in the same act.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you find though that some people, and you mentioned boundaries, or they mentioned boundaries?
Yeah.
You know, we We're not very good at creating boundaries, or a lot of us, especially those of us in the psychic or intuitive field, where we're very open.
That's
and
right.
And creating a boundary can be being a little bit challenging, especially if you work from the heart.
Absolutely. And when I teach the development classes, the prayer that is expressed is this, that we ask that we are surrounded with the light of love, peace, and harmony as a form of our protection. Isn't that interesting? Love, peace, and harmony all implies vulnerability and openness. Yet that in itself is the protection. Isn't that interesting? Mm-hmm. So it's only our perception that we have the idea of needing to protect or needing to isolate or needing to create this envelope where no one can trespass or transgress. And yet what they're claiming here is know thyself in terms of the boundaries, is know thyself, know what you're able to express, know what you're able to receive, know what you're able to give. And this is really what they're implying in terms of the concept of boundaries.
Yeah, and do you think that they're also suggesting, you know, a lot of people are also unbalanced and not knowing that they either give too much and a lot of women don't know how to receive. I think, you know, we focus so much on giving, and they say that if you give, you receive, but I think sometimes we're not very good at receiving.
Right.
And I think that doesn't just fall for women. I think it falls for a lot of people. I think,
you
know, so it's an interesting concept that, you know, if you're giving, somebody's obviously receiving.
Yes, absolutely. And again, the idea is love of self. Mm-hmm. So if you're perpetuating the idea of constantly giving to yourself, then you're constantly receiving. So you're constantly in this place of cup is full. And therefore, in order to give to another, it's you're giving the overflow, really. Mm-hmm. You're not giving anything other than what's coming out of the cup, if you can imagine that. And really, I think this is the important thing to understand, is with to give, to receive, is to continually give to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And not in a selfish way, yet to give to yourself from this place of love, peace, and harmony. There's another prayer when I do healings that I'm asked to share with the individual. I ask them to say that I am this light, I am this love. I am this light, and I am the love within this light. I walk forward in these feet, the feet of my real and true self, steeped in love, peace, and harmony. If I am in those feet, then I'm constantly receiving.
Hmm. Yeah. Beautiful. Is there anything else you'd like to...
Well, firstly, I'd like to thank you, Lori, for giving me the opportunity to share the message of One Light Guides All, and to share in this experience of the spirit world, and to help give an understanding of the mediumistic journey. Mm-hmm. Yes, I'd like to thank you for that, and I would tell everyone that that the spirit continues to live, that relationship continues to exist beyond physicalness, and that if one wishes to engage in understanding that, then connect to your own spirit, and you'll connect to all that is of spirit. That means even grandfather that's passed, or mom that's passed, or father, or uncle, or husband, or whomever. So I would really encourage people to take a deep breath and really get to know themselves, get to know their spirit, and know that those in the spirit world only wish for us, only wish love to be expressed towards us.
Mm.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Now you can let everybody know how they can get a hold of you.
You can find us at www.onelightguidesall, that is the word one, onelightguidesall-vpace.com, and there you will find all the services that are available, all the products that are available, and you can also find the book A Journey with a Total Self and the CD at amazon.com. You can find the CD at a place called cdbaby.com. And these are the places where they can, what people can get in touch.
Great. And I assume they're on your website.
Yes. The Amazon and the CD Baby will be very soon, but the other items, the products can be purchased. The services can be solicited and purchased on the website as well. Yes.
Well, Vincent, lovely.
Thank you.
And we'll have you back, and we'll talk about your book, which
okay. Excellent.
I assume is not going to be the typical book interview, because it's really a collection of offerings, a collection of
yes.
readings. So
yes.
we'll pick a topic maybe, and we'll play
explore.
With that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Until next time.
Thank you very much.